Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 4th of May, recording at 8:29 p.m. British Summer Time. Back from Edinburgh, very enjoyable weekend in Edinburgh. Now, lots going on here over the last few days, so let me try to cover this. I'll start with stock markets. First, we have a very choppy, nervous market environment, as you will have no doubt observed. This is not an environment that suits a trend running. The trend running was the sort of thing that, of course, we were doing from early spring last year, pretty much onwards, while the trends persisted. So today, it doesn't suit, this environment doesn't suit trend running because there are very few trends. We're just getting, say, this volatile action largely within a sideways trading range. To me, this has the look of distribution about it. People get whipsawed, and meaning that they lose some money in here. The action is stressful for those who aren't used to it or don't know how to participate if they wish to participate in this market. It's certainly less profitable overall, so people tend to drift away and do less. Now, in this type of environment, as you know, recently I'd established a number of short positions in stock market futures contracts. I wanted to fully hedge my long positions. I didn't feel an overwhelming need to chop out my long positions because I thought this is a market environment that could easily range sideways for a few months, but I kind of think that it'll do that at best. Maybe a few indices just nudge up to new recovery highs, but that of the three things markets can do, up, down, or sideways, that sideways to down was certainly the more likely possibility. That's the way I've read it, at any rate. So I wanted to short sufficiently to not only fully hedge the long positions that I still had in equities, mainly in India, Thailand, Japan, a few gold shares, but I wanted to be net short as well to profit from that environment. But having seen these trades move in and out of profit pretty much on a daily basis in here, I've decided to be more proactive in this environment, and therefore one of the things that I did today was to cover my NASDAQ short position. I did that at 417 on the June contract. It's been all over the place today. It's currently trading at 1420, slightly above where I got out, and that 417 includes the spread bet costs, a four point spread on that. So a small profit. I took 43 points out of the market on that trade, and because I didn't want to reduce the size of my overall short position, I shorted the FTSE 100 index futures, and because they had really quite a strong day in here today. I actually sold at 45.44. Again, that's including the spread bet costs, and there's an 8-point spread quoted on that, and it closed a little bit higher than that at 45.49.5. Now, I'll continue with this type of action, and it'll be very much on a basis of sell indices when they're high, and cover a bit when they're down, as long as we have this choppy type of market activity. Now today, the markets, Wall Street's been all over the place. I mean, the Dow was down 40 shortly after the announcement that the Fed was leaving interest rates on hold, and that the word patience had been, in terms of when it would raise interest rates, was removed by the Fed from the statement. And then the market rallied quite sharply, got up to about 70 points. I must say, I was very tempted to go back in and reshort the NASDAQ contract. It's got up to 1439, but I didn't, and now it's given up that rally. The Dow's down a couple of points as I speak, S&P up 1.25, NASDAQ composite up 9.5. So just, as I say, just churning sideways in here. Moving on, as far as bond markets are concerned, and this does concern me a little bit because they're quite soft here today. And the range has been quite wide on the U.S. June contract of Treasury bond. These are 30-year Treasury bond futures. We had a range of 107.28 on the highs. That's very close to where I had closed my short position, down as low as 106.11, currently 106.20, and continuing to press against prior support levels. And I feel a little nervous being out of the market, having taken that earlier profit on the U.S. Treasury bonds, ditto the JGBs, and I maintain that this is a very bearish environment for bonds overall, and I do want to be increasing those, or I want to be reopening those short positions. I was hoping to do it on a bit of a rally, but I wouldn't count on actually seeing that. In currencies, and I think this is extremely important here today, euro dollar, we're currently trading at 120.88. That's up 142 for the euro. And you might recall on Thursday, which was my last audio, and also in my subscribers' comment of the day, that I put up a chart of euro dollar and said we were just getting the first clues. I think I put it in question form in the subscribers' comment, talked more about it in the audio, saying this was the first hint that the euro might have bottomed, but that it really needed to push above 120. Well, it's certainly done that in here today quite forcefully, so we've got an upward dynamic. It's also taken the euro back to levels on the chart where people can see a little bit of potential resistance, but as it had ranged downwards quite slowly from a high of around that 129 level, and inevitably all the prior trading is going to look like little bits of potential resistance. But certainly this is a tradable signal in here, and I'd give the upside the benefit of the doubt. I haven't opened a position in this because I'm long the euro-yen, and that's come off the highs a little bit, but it's currently trading at 132.42 in here today. So that's been continuing to recover, but it has been up as high as 130.133. That's dogs of the portfolio category returning to profit, and I really should put in a in the money stop on this. I haven't done that yet. But the interesting thing, though, is this softer dollar in here today and the stronger euro. And as I say, I would give this the benefit of the doubt until or unless we see a downward dynamic, which would indicate that the euro's rally had run into some stiff resistance. Now, the implications, though, that are really interesting are for metals, this move. And that has, it's done no harm for my silver position, although that had actually anticipated the change. I wrote about this trade, and I've talked about it quite extensively. So I just mentioned that there was a little mix-up in communication with the broker. I'm not sure whether I'd made the error or they made the error, but some of the trades that I thought had been purchased in the dollar dealing account that I use, I run the two concurrently rather than the sterling positions. I made my initial baby steps purchases of silver in the sterling account, and because it didn't bounce, it went right down to the bottom of that range and then a bit beyond. Then I activated the dollar account and continued buying in the dollars, and I've now taken one of the profits on those positions, and actually it was quite a good profit. Actually, it's paid for quite an expensive but very enjoyable weekend in Edinburgh, and that includes Mrs. Fuller's extremely smart, state-of-the-art bespoke bike that's been ordered. So let me not digress too much in here, but in terms of metals, we've got that silver trading after hours right now at 6:10.5, and I just hope for volatility here. I will buy more definitely in the dollar account if it were to fall back, and I will lighten and further if it rallies, because two trades that I thought were in the dollar account that I'd picked up against bids at 5.95 and 5.98 are in the sterling account. That's lowered my average purchase cost in the sterling account to 6.21 and a half. So it's not very far out of the money here right now, and the pattern looks considerably more interesting. I'll put up a chart of that later in the week because I know a number of people are interested in it. And then, of course, I bought as for the dollar account. My best purchase was down at the 5.61 and a half. Now, I think that I also bought today. I bought some lead, and it was tough to decide which one I actually wanted to buy. I could have picked up any of them, and including the palladium, which had a soft close in here, but I wanted something with a backwardation, and the lead qualified. It had also had a big fall and had steadied up recently. I paid 7.38, and that's including the dealing costs, spread bet dealing costs. I do all this through spread betting because it's tax-free capital gains in the UK. I closed at 7.31, so it's a little bit lower. I know some people shadow some of my trades, and there's frustration if they find the market at a less advantageous rate on the next day when they hear about this. But it's swings and roundabouts. It goes both ways. The trades that I have enacted today, at least in terms of the purchase of lead, say that closed lower, and the FTSE short that closed somewhat higher. Be careful on the shadowing of trades, though. Don't do it unless it absolutely makes sense to you. And as I've said before, everyone should look at what I do with a critical eye, just as you would anything that anybody else did. And now I think that as long as I see evidence of a strong to appreciating euro, then I'll be quite inclined to increase my long positions in the supply inelasticity trades, and I would almost certainly be going for more metals. And here I think it's 6-1, half a dozen of the other, because they all came back quite a bit. I think the one that didn't was tin. That came back only a little bit, but is very firm within the trading range. Still has a backwardation as well, indicating that there's a shortage of nearby refined material. But these trades, again, they ran too far on the upside. The trends all accelerated. There's a big hedge fund play, in addition to other speculative activity, such as my own. And the fortunately, in my own positions, I managed to step aside at opportune moments. And then we've had the subsequent bloodbath in these markets, a lot of hedge funds coming out of those positions. And going back in here today, at least I know that I'm not coming in following purchases by a lot of other people. But I expect the volatility to continue. Expect volatility in just about everything. But as long as the dollar is soft, or people expect the dollar to soften further, that will certainly help a number of these supply and elasticity trades. Gold is certainly one of them, back up to 392.65, and a lot of these gold shares, mining shares in general, look a bit oversold on the downside. The risk with the mining shares is that they won't buck a sell-off in the broader market, but if the broader market just ranges sideways in a choppy fashion and metal prices appreciate, then those mining shares should rebound quite strongly. Now, last but not least in here, oil. This is bad for the global economy and therefore bad for stock markets, but oil's been tremendously strong in here. Light sweet Texas crude, as it's called, the spot price. And NYMEX is trading at this very moment at $38.91, getting very close to that, well, just a dollar and 9 cents away from that psychological Rubicon of $40. and natural gas, again, dogs of the portfolio here, despite my having cut that position in half on the recent rally that surged yesterday and was up again today up to 635 and a half. So that's really quite profitable in here right now. I must put in a in the money stop on that, and I think that's pretty much it. And Wall Street's down 14 on the Dow, unchanged on the S&P, and up 9.5 on the NASDAQ. Have a good evening. Oh, one last point. Sorry, my 1,000 apologies for my incredibly embarrassing gaffe when I talked when I had that quote about. It was really Harold Macmillan who had said, "Events, dear boy, events," and I'd use that in terms of stock markets and some of the various different events that I cited. I put that on the website last week. I used it in a speech on Friday, and I was mortified to have it pointed out to me that I'd said Harold Wilson instead of Harold Macmillan. Well, Harold Wilson, who I remember well as well, would have never said anything like that. And it's mystifying as to why I get confused that. Accept my word on this, if you don't mind. I did definitely know that that was a Harold Macmillan quote, but sometimes I find when I talk, and also when I'm writing, that the brain is moved on. You know, I'm sort of uttering the comment, and or I'm trying to type it, and I'm already on to the next point. So must not be so careless. But many thanks to the many people who no doubt felt mortified on my behalf that it would make such a clangor of a mistake, and who pointed that out to me. Harold Macmillan, he was a class act. Have a good evening.